What are Osborne waves? When we say Osborne waves in reference to this ECG finding, we think immediately of hypothermia. But it's good to appreciate that there is a whole spectrum of J-wave syndromes, of which Osborne waves, that is, prominent diffuse J-point notching associated with hypothermia, Osborne waves are only a part of the spectrum of these J-wave syndromes. Osborne waves were first described in 1953 by J.J. Osborne, although this ECG finding was noted a number of years before that time. Many names have been attributed to this ECG deflection, including the camel hump sign, a hypothermic wave, a prominent J-wave sign. Think of the J-point as joining. It joins the two S's, that is, the end of the QRS complex with the beginning of the ST segment. An Osborne wave is a deflection with a dome or hump that occurs at the J-point. In essence, an Osborne wave is simply an exaggerated J-point wave. When seen in association with hypothermia, Osborne waves usually do not develop until the temperature drops below 32 degrees centigrade, which corresponds to 89.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Other commonly associated ECG findings of hypothermia include bradycardia, which may be marked, atrial fibrillation, often with a slow ventricular response, artifact, which is often accentuated by the patient's shivering, QTC interval prolongation, and ST segment elevation in multiple leads. This last finding, that is ST elevation in multiple leads, is especially intriguing in view of the fact that the occurrence of Osborne waves is not limited to hypothermia syndromes. Among other conditions that have been associated with prominent J-point deflections are hypercalcemia, brain injury, subarachnoid hemorrhage, Brugada syndrome, certain repolarization variants, and severe acute ischemia that may result in acute ST elevation MI. In fact, development of Osborne waves in association with acute ischemia or infarction may be a predictive marker of impending VFib, and VFib itself may precipitate development of exaggerated J waves in the post-resuscitation ECG. The mechanism whereby accentuation of the J-point may serve as a marker for acute ischemia and as a predictive marker for associated potentially malignant ventricular arrhythmias, this mechanism is complex, but it is thought to relate to opening by acute ischemia of potassium ATP channels that may lead to an enhanced potential difference between epicardial and endocardial myocardium during phases 1 and 2 of the ventricular repolarization process. This may increase the transmural voltage gradient produced during early ventricular repolarization, which results in formation of a prominent J wave at the junction where the end of the QRS complex meets the beginning of the ST segment. With persistence of ischemia, J wave amplitude may increase, sometimes dramatically. With these exaggerated ischemia-related J waves, Osborne waves, ultimately disappearing in many instances as the Osborne wave becomes incorporated within the marked ST elevation of the ongoing acute STEMI. Thus, these ischemia-related exaggerated J waves may be a transient finding during the acute ischemic process. How the pathophysiology that I have just described relates to events associated with Brugada syndrome and to certain potentially malignant repolarization syndromes is difficult to specify. But Ancelovich and Jahn feel that although there are differences with respect to the magnitude and lead location of these abnormal J-point features, Brugada syndrome, certain malignant repolarization syndromes, hypothermia-related Osborne waves, and perhaps the increasing number of other non-ischemic, non-hypothermic J-wave-producing conditions are all part of the same spectrum of J-wave syndromes. Clinically, what does this all mean? Clearly, J waves are not seen in many ischemic syndromes that go on to evolve into an acute STEMI. And I fully acknowledge that until recently, I had never associated the ECG finding of prominent Osborne waves with acute infarction. But this ECG finding of ischemia-related J waves is probably much more common than is generally realized. And now that we are aware of this finding, I bet we'll be noticing it with increasing frequency. The important point to remember from this brief audio pearl is to be aware that development of prominent J waves in the normothermic acute chest pain patient may be an indicator of ongoing acute infarction, especially when you notice increasing prominence of J-wave deflections on serial tracings. In this clinical setting, not only does recognition of increasing J-point prominence support your impression of acute infarction, but it serves as a marker that identifies patients at highest risk of developing ventricular fibrillation. This is important because recognition of prominent J-waves in this clinical situation should serve as an eye-opening indication that these patients need prompt cardiac catheterization in the hope of preventing ischemic-related ventricular fibrillation.